broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Where are those places? You're going to have to strap it on, cinch it up, sack it up, and come with us as we take that journey each and every night. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night. I want to remind you also, if you're over at philhendryshow.com, to please visit our merchandise shop. We have a great many marvelous things there for the Phil Hendry fan in your life, or maybe you are that fan, and you can go in there and get either a Phil Hendry shot glass. Our official shot glass is quite the collector's item. We also have, why a shot? You're probably asking, why a shot glass, Phil? Well, three guesses, and the first two don't count. And then,
Kenny, you like to drink.
Yeah, out of here, man. No, it's not because I like to drink. I like to drink tequila, and very, very sparingly.
Yes, sir.
You want me to...
Shut up, man.
Any coffee? We have a coffee mug. If you drink, you drink coffee? Yes, of course you do. We also have our T-shirts. We also have our CDs. We have our downloads. And, of course, the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is a big smash hit among all y'all. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. Well, it's no secret. By the way, we will get into the debate. Next hour, the South Carolina debate. It was interesting. I don't think it was a game changer. It was interesting. I don't think it was a game changer. It was interesting. You get the idea. All right. As you know, we've been reporting off and on, but mostly on, over the last several days, this terrible, terrible accident that now is beginning to look like a dereliction of duty as well on the part of the captain, and that is the capsizing of the cruise ship, the Costa Concordia. The stricken Costa Concordia was, according to a young Moldavan woman who was called to the bridge by the captain to help evacuate Russian passengers because the young lady could speak, obviously, the language. She defended the embattled captain on Thursday, saying he worked tirelessly and saved over 3,000 lives. Her name is Dominica Sermotin. She says she was translating Captain Francesco Schettino's orders during this frenzied evacuation. She's emerged as a potential new witness in the investigation of the officer's actions the night the ship ran aground. In my opinion, it's just, and I'm a layman, just like probably 90% of you guys, although I recognize we may have people out there in the audience that have had some kind of experience with this. In my opinion, the real killer, if you'll pardon me for saying, is that phone conversation. It's a taped phone conversation, and let's get Art Griego on the line here. Art is a retired commercial pilot, as well as a man who's operated a charter flight services, charter commercial service, as well as freight service. Art, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing very well, and belated Happy New Year.
As well as you and your family. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
So I know that you don't have experience as a captain, as a naval or a seagoing captain, but you do have experience captaining ships in the air, aircraft.
That is correct.
Is there a law, or is it just a tradition? The first thing we got to get out of the way, and the first thing that I think people need to understand, is this concept of the captain never leaves the ship while it is stricken, while there are souls on board who are in danger, while there is obviously a lot of business to attend to, having to do with the safety of his passengers. It would appear, according to this phone call, that Captain Schettino had an argument with a member of the land-based authorities. There was an argument as to whether he should go back to the ship. One of the people was saying, get back there or else, and he was saying it's too dark.
Well, Phil, whether or not the law is the same in Europe as it may be in North America or in the United States, I don't know. It's one of those things that has been steeped in such tradition and has the movies have been made of it. You know, the movie that was so very, very popular here a while back, Titanic, referenced, I think you referenced last night, the very famous scene of the captain going into the wheelhouse and standing there. So the captain going down with the ship is a very romantic notion. But let's deal with the reality. We know that in, for instance, naval battles, if you're at war and you are engaged in a battle with another craft, you don't go down with your ship necessarily. You make sure your crew is evacuated. If you can conduct operations from another ship, that's what you do. You transfer your command to that ship. So going down with the ship is a fairly romantic notion.
Well, we're not talking about a guy going down with a ship. We're talking about a guy abandoning the ship.
Well, I'm getting to that. But I want to get to that by first disabusing people of this idea that no matter what, you're supposed to die as the ship sinks. No, that's ridiculous. You've got to keep in mind your own personal safety. You have a life and you have a family, and if there are people on board, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Are you supposed to drown while they're there? I don't know.
If you have a cruise ship and the ship is going down, aren't you supposed to stay on the ship to help evacuate the passengers?
I think a lot of people were saying that the captain should stay there and drown if other people have drowned. And
I don't think anybody's saying that. I think what people are saying is, while people are at risk, while people are...
I understand.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So this, while people are in danger, the captain needs to be there to coordinate the rescue, to coordinate the evacuation, to coordinate the however the hell they're doing it, lifeboats and...
You're saying that the captain needs to be on board until every soul that is possible to save is saved.
Isn't that the case?
No one really knows, and that is just the reality that we've dealt with over the last perhaps 100 years.
When you say no one knows,
no one can really know a thing like that. Does the captain stay on board until everyone? I'll give you an example. When the Titanic went down, they had a hearing in New York. It was a board of inquiry, and the man that ran the White Star Line, I forget his name, was a man who got into a life raft with women and children. I think he was the only man that left the ship early that night. It was one man and, hundreds of women and children, but he was the president of the White Star Line. He was one of the principals of the White Star Line.
And the White Star Line was what, the owners?
Yeah, they were the owners of the Titanic.
All right. Okay, so this guy got off the boat.
Yes, and they were saying women and children. The men were staying on board the Titanic, and most of the people that lost their lives that night were men, as they made sure their women and their children got off. This one man got off, and they asked him why, and he said, because I'm the president of the White Star Line. And they then asked, as the president of the White Star Line, and I may not have his title right, Phil.
Right.
But they said, as a principal with the White Star Line, wouldn't you want to stay on board and help supervise? And he said, quite honestly, gentlemen, as a principal of this company, if I don't get off that boat, jobs, lives, people's well-being is at risk. He had a number of appointments to keep in New York the next day. Now, that's no excuse, but the board ruled that,
In the case that this guy was an important guy.
No, they didn't say this guy's an important guy. They said he is the head of the White Star Line.
Whose ship is sinking?
Well, you can look at it any way you want, Phil. You can say that the guy is the president of the White Star Line whose ship is sinking, so he needs to stay on board the ship and commit suicide.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just wondering...
No, hold on. You can look at it that way, or you can say he's the president of the White Star Line. He needs to get off that ship and get to New York or get to safety so that he can help coordinate the rescue of those people from a land-based operation.
You may call it a judgment call.
I'll give you a better example. When I was flying my private charter business, I had a fuel leak one afternoon. I could smell the fuel, and I could also see that we were leaking fuel because of my reserve tank was inordinately low. I decided to put down. And I put down at an airstrip north of King City, California. It was a little small airstrip, I think, just north of King City, that I got clearance for. I could smell fuel as we were bringing the plane in. I had about five passengers with me. And I knew that we could have a fire at any minute. There was a heavy, heavy smell of fuel. I was trying to dump fuel, but because my nerves, my nerves got to me a little bit. I forgot, really, in many ways, I was forgetting the process of how to do things, and all I could think about was getting it on the ground and getting out of that aircraft. And people were asking me what's going on, and I said, I didn't want to scare anybody, but I said we're leaking fuel, and the plane, we could have a fire.
And you didn't want to scare anybody. Why would you tell them that?
I made a mistake. I was trying to calm everybody down, but my number one thought was I got to get out of here. And as soon as we, boy, I'm feeling emotional thinking about it. As soon as we landed, I opened the door of that plane and I ran. And I ran, I swear to God, I must have run for 2 minutes. And
was the plane okay?
The plane was fine, but I eventually was questioned by members of the sheriff department up there, why did I run? And I said, to get out of a plane that was going to explode. And everybody gave me a look like, that's not what you're supposed to do, like I'm the captain of the ship.
Well, is it not expected of you in that instance to make sure that your passengers and your crew members...
Well, I didn't have any crew members. All I had were passengers. So I didn't have that much of a job right there.
All right, but isn't it expected of you to stay and to help those people off the plane?
It's expected of me, Phil, not to burn up in a ball of fire. It's expected... When you say, is it expected of me to do what? To stand there and wait for a ball of fire to engulf me?
No, I'm not asking that at all. I'm asking, do you not assist the people off the plane?
It's, again, no one knows. My judgment was, I made a very cool, calm, and collected judgment that I had to get out of there, and I didn't care who I had to crawl over top of to do it. I did not want to burn up.
I can understand that. It's a horrifying thought, but you had a heavy fuel leak, and we're just talking, I'm just asking this, all I'm asking, Art, is this in the context of this ship?
No, I understand that. Everybody is saying that this captain needed to go back to the ship. Well, the ship was capsized. It was pitch black. It's very possible that he'd go back to that ship and die there if that ship was to move at all. It's on a rocky ledge. They're afraid that it may shift some more, and eventually someone's going to get killed.
Where do you fall, then, and what is your... So, in other words, as a captain... What do you think the law should be?
What should the law? I think the captain should be... you want the captain to be there to help people, but at some point he needs to get out of there. And
why?
Why? So he doesn't die?
So in other words, the captain's well-being is equal with everybody else's, if not more so.
I think... No, I'm not saying more so. I'm just saying that he's got to... I don't see the point in a guy going back to the ship and becoming another cold, dead corpse that they're pulling out of the bottom of the, out of the bilge. I don't see the point of that. And so that's why I say captains go, they go down with the ship, but not really. I mean, you have to get out of there. But yes, you want to go down with the ship if you have no choice, I guess is what I'm saying.
All right, well, it might have been unfair of me to ask you, Art, because you're not a naval...
But it's the same whether you're captaining an aircraft.
All right, well, let me take a break here and open up our phone lines and continue our discussion with Art Griego, who is an aircraft... He's been an airline pilot as well as a cargo pilot, as well as a private charter pilot. But we are talking about the Costa Concordia, the cruise ship, and the captain of that ship. Do you stay? Do you go? What is, if not the law, what is the moral obligation in that situation among captains on any craft anywhere? 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You did fight.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Art Griego with us. Art is an airline pilot, but he has been the captain of a craft traveling with souls aboard. And there are certain traditions among captains of ships or aircraft that are traveling. And when you're traveling in a ship or on an airliner or aircraft, you are cut off really from all other authority. You're cut off for a very limited time, however limited, but you are still cut off from all of the authority that might be in place to guide your actions, especially a ship at sea that's in international waters. And it's been a tradition, seafaring tradition holds, and this is from an Associated Press article. They were talking to seafarers, quote-unquote, that would be people with this kind of experience captaining a ship at sea. Seafaring tradition holds that the captain should be last to leave a sinking ship. But is it realistic to expect skippers to suppress their survival instinct amid the horror of a maritime disaster? To ask them to stare down death from the bridge as the lights go out and the water rises until everyone else has made it to safety?
Well, that's a very good question. Thank you for bringing that up.
All right. Because, you know, right now, They're using the song "Chicken of the Sea," you know, to describe the captain there in that disaster. As a matter of fact, I think we had the song. Here it is.
Ask any mermaid you happen to see, what's the best tuna? Chicken of the sea.
Well, you know, I think I heard that. I think that's an insult.
Why?
Chicken of the sea. You know, here's a guy, a captain of a ship, and it's a cruise ship, which means when he got hired, he was told, you're going to be the captain of a cruise ship. It is entirely reasonable for an individual to believe if you are the captain of a ship that is a pleasure craft or a craft that will be transporting people for pleasure, you are not delivering people to a destination any more than you're just, you know, traveling a route that has been pre-planned by the company and by the individuals that do those things. And you are taking these people on this pleasure cruise, and that's what you're doing. And so when you're hired by the company, you have every reasonable expectation that you're going to be in a ship going to beautiful places, and you're not going to be the captain of a battleship or a submarine at war.
No, of course you're not going to be the captain of a battleship or a submarine at war, but you're in a ship that's floating on the ocean. Things can go wrong.
Yeah, well, what is going to go wrong, Phil, when you ask yourself, what is it, all of a sudden going to spring a leak? No. Are you going to hit an iceberg? I don't think so, not since the Titanic. Okay? There's nothing you're going to hit. And
well, what about this guy running aground?
That is what I'd like to find out.
Well, the guy, his own decision brought him close to those rocks.
Right. He was given that leeway by the company. The company should have known that there were rocks there and not given him that leeway. But they gave him the leeway. And when you get the leeway, then you are assuming that the company knows what they're doing by giving you the leeway. So you're going to take that ship as close as you can to look at the fireworks or whatever it is that the people on board the ship have been, you know, chattering about all week. And all you're trying to do is do your job and get off that ship as fast and as safely as you can so you can have a life. Now he's got all of these chattering Russians who want to go see a fireworks display. The company didn't say anything to him about not getting close to these rocks. So he goes ahead and he floats the boat in there. And now he finds that the ship is turning over on its side. You're scared to death, and you finally make it to land. Now, he had that conversation with the, as you mentioned, Phil, the guy on shore. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm on shore, and I am wrapped in a blanket, and I am freezing cold, and I'm trying to get warm, and there's someone telling me to get out back to that ship, and there is a coffee pot sitting to my left that's about 3 feet away, and there is a ship filled with screaming people who are going, the minute you get on that ship, everybody's going to be on you like cold on ice. What are you going to choose?
I would go back to the ship.
No, no, you would. You would do what I would do and what this captain did. There's a coffee pot with hot coffee. You're sitting 3 feet from it.
I understand that. I would go back to the ship.
Well, you're not. But you're not. You're saying that for the benefit of your audience, and I wish you'd speak more realistically, Phil.
And I'm speaking realistically. I would go back to the ship.
99% of thinking people would get themselves a blast of hot coffee before they...
Well, I mean, maybe they'd get the coffee before they went back to the ship.
No, they're not going to go back to the ship.
Phil.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we are talking about something a lot of people probably don't have that much information on, and that is the, seafaring law. When does a captain stay with the ship? When does a captain not stay with the ship? We're talking with the closest thing that we could find to a seagoing captain, and he's a guy that has contributed to a great many discussions on our show, Art Griego. He's an airline pilot. I'll give you an example, Art. Sully Sullenberger.
I know who Sully Sullenberger is.
Okay, remember when he was the last guy to get off that off of that plane?
Yes, I do remember that, and I think that was a... I'd wish that he hadn't done that, because what he was doing there is, he was making a statement that he somehow thinks he's got more guts than the rest of us.
The rest of airline pilots, or...
Well, I think it was a professional statement, yeah. I don't fault the man for the landing that he made. It was a good landing. I'm not saying that he was the only guy in the history of the world that could make that landing. I don't think there's too many guys I know that, in a pinch, that couldn't make that landing. But when he stayed on board and waited for everybody to get off the plane... I think that was a little much.
Well, here is the tradition, as we said. There is a... It's a matter of honor. According to... Let me see. They're quoting a man by the name of Jorgen Loren, captain of a passenger ferry operating between Sweden and Denmark and chairman of the Swedish Maritime Officers Association. It's a matter... It's a matter of honor that the master is the last to leave. Nothing less will do in this profession. A matter of honor.
Yes, it is a matter of honor. And that's what we do. But some people think that you've got to walk up and down the aisle like Sullenberger and sort of show off for the media like you are the greatest gift to, being a captain that ever happened. Or there is the very pragmatic people.
Let me ask you about your action when you jumped out of that aircraft and ran.
Well, you're saying that I jumped out of that aircraft and ran as the very first statement. So automatically that's going to make people think that I didn't care about my passengers. Now, you're right. It is a matter of tradition and honor that you be the last to leave. And as far as I knew, I was not the last to leave. But I told them to get out. And as a captain, you can't sit there and wait for someone to leave an aircraft that may explode within seconds, engulfing everybody in a ball of fire, so that when they find you, you look almost like one of those people. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, Phil, and I don't mean to be...
Yeah, I don't want to be gruesome here, okay?
No, but the Pompeii. You've seen people running, they're in like a motion. That's what you look like. Or if I was pointing to someone, hey, you get out of your seatbelt. And when they found me, I'd be pointing at, at nothing, at air. So you also run the risk of looking foolish in death. This was on my mind.
Wait a minute. Wait. When you ran from that aircraft, did you wait for the passengers to get out?
I told them, the plane's leaking fuel, get out. And I also used a very time-honored maritime and captain tradition. I said, it's every man for himself. And
every man for himself. Now, do you mind? Well, I better.
What? I'll answer any question you got.
Well, who was on board your aircraft?
I said I'd answer any question you got, and you asked me a question about who was on the aircraft.
Do you not remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay.
I had a Bill Tomlin, who is a sports writer with a local newspaper, and I had his mother and I had his wife.
His mother? Can you tell me how old she was?
And that's why I didn't. You're going to make it. She was an elderly woman.
So all I'm asking is, you got out of that aircraft and ran, even though there was an elderly woman on board. That what is that? What's the best
tuna chicken of the sea? That's what I did.
All right, what was that?
Why did you play that, bud?
Because that's what you said.
I didn't say that.
So in other words, now that's how low you're going to, that's where you're sinking. And
I didn't tell him to play chicken of the sea.
Well, that's what they're calling that captain. Are you calling me that?
I'm not calling you chicken. I'm asking you. I'm not calling.
Oh, you had to think about that?
Listen, Art. If you're the captain of an aircraft, just like this cruise ship guy was a captain, and you jump out of that aircraft and you run, and there are still four people back inside of that aircraft, you are going to... What's the
best tuna, chicken of the sea? Hey, that's real funny.
But don't play that more than once, okay?
No, more than once. The point that he's making now he's gotten very personal. He's calling me a chicken.
What else do you call it when you're running away with an old lady?
Hey, who's the host of the show? Is it you, Mr. Henry?
Bud, shut up. Did you run or didn't you?
Yes, I ran.
Did you stop and see if the elderly woman was going to be getting out of her seatbelt?
I said, everybody, every man for himself, get out. Well, I said to get out. I said, it smells like an oil refinery in here. I know what I'm doing.
So that's what passes for making sure that everyone is...
No, hold the phone here, Phil. That's not what, quote, passes. That is by the book, okay? I don't have to sit there and wait for that aircraft to explode. So that I look like something out of a Fall Guy episode. Oh, come on.
Bud, what's the best tuna chicken of the sea? Why are you playing that?
I got direction.
Get him on the phone.
What's going on?
It probably has something to do with Hall, who we were talking to last night. And we'll find out.
Who is Hall?
He is the vice president of syndication for the show. We talked to him last night. I don't really know myself. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking to Art Griego, and here is David. David?
Yeah, Phil, listen, I told Bud to play the chicken of the sea because this is a hot story. And every time you hear someone dodging a direct question about whether someone is a good captain or is saving lives, you've got to play the chicken of the sea. Hello, Mr. Office, this is Art Griego.
Yes, sir.
I'm the guy that they're playing chicken of the sea on.
Well, sir, I'm sorry, but if that's what Dickman...
What do you mean, Dickman? Has he got independent editorial control?
No, he certainly doesn't, but I thought you'd be busy, so I gave him editorial control.
Yeah, so that time you talked like you ran.
Right.
Okay, let's go through this again. You were on your way flying someplace, I don't know where, when you developed fuel problems. Any mermaid you happen to see, what's the best tuna chicken of the sea? Why'd you play that?
Just to remind people.
You know something, I'm going to hang the phone up in about 5 seconds if I hear that one more time. Him calling me chicken.
Let's just get to the point of what it is we're saying here. You were flying somewhere. You developed a fuel leak.
That is correct.
You landed the plane. You saw that you were losing fuel, and you could smell fuel.
That is also correct. And Phil, let me tell you something. A lot of people don't know about flying, but if you're smelling gasoline or fuel on your way down, and you're watching the fuel gauge dropping... You got yourself a problem, friend. Okay, you land the plane safely and do what you can as captain of that plane to make sure everyone gets out safely.
And in your mind, that instance was to say what?
I said to the people, and I'll repeat it, I said the plane, as soon as we land, I don't know about, I said I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of here.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of here. And do you call that adequate protection, or at least the adequate helping of passengers off an aircraft?
it was they. I told them to get off the aircraft.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of here.
I didn't say I don't know about you. I'm getting out of here. I said I don't know about you, but I'm getting out while the getting's good. Something like that. You have to understand. I was nervous. You also have to understand that the plane was losing fuel. I didn't know if we were going to land upside down, right side up. I didn't know. I was frightened.
You didn't know if you're going to land upside down.
I didn't know if we'd have enough fuel for me to work to actually have the instrumentation to land the plane right side up.
Well, what you're talking about an electrical system now, right?
Bill, don't start to pretend like you're Sky King, okay?
I don't think I'm Sky King, all right? What I'm saying is if you have the instrument to... Will you turn that chicken of the sea off?
Sorry.
You don't need gas. You don't need fuel to know the instrumentation, do you?
I'm going to say it again. You can laugh all you want. You're not Sky King.
I don't have to be Sky King. I'm asking you a question. Do you need to have fuel so that your instruments work?
You're coming off asking me questions about an aircraft that you have no business asking because you're not Sky King. Now,
you could say I'm not a pilot.
All right, you're not a pilot.
Why do you have to be sarcastic?
Well, I think, Mr. Henry, you people in the media have a tendency to think that one minute you're Sky King, and the next minute you're Clutch Cargo, and the next minute, you know...
I'm a lot of cartoon characters from the 50s.
Right. Not from the 50s, I'm just saying. And I'm trying to let the audience know that you're not an authority.
All right, can I ask you, you are an authority.
I wasn't thinking clearly. All I knew was I had to get off that aircraft, and that's when I said, when this plane lands, there's a possibility it's going to explode. You got to get out of here. And my voice was cracking like that.
And I'll bet you they felt just so secure in the knowledge that their captain was going to help them.
I don't know what you're inferring.
If I heard a guy with a voice like that saying, this plane might explode, I would be in fear for my life. I would think that we've got no friend in this guy. We better get out of here.
Well, there you go. And that's what I was hoping people would think. I had to get out of that airplane in case they started crawling on top of me. Right behind me was Bill's mother. Right to my right was Bill, his mother and his wife. Now, his wife was going to get out on his side. His mother was going to crawl all over top of me. Now, I didn't need that. No, thank you. I knew that if the plane was going to explode, she's going to be crawling all over top of me. I better get out.
Well, and her being an elderly woman and needing assistance, that wouldn't have come into play in your thinking, huh?
It would have been better for me to get out of her way. I did everything I could. And guess what? The plane didn't explode. And all I got was sheriff talking to me, the cops talked to me, the FAA, the NTSB, everybody putting a microscope up my rear end for 6 solid months.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Art. If you behave like that, as you described, running from the aircraft as it's leaking fuel and smelling like it's going to explode, I think you probably got what this captain of this Italian ship is going to expect.
I don't know. I don't know, but I can tell you, I don't think that guy on that ship could have done anything other than what he did, which is to get the hell off of that ship before the thing, you know, sinks, get some hot coffee, and find out what his next move is.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Art Griego here about this Italian cruise. You happen to see what's
the best tuna chicken of the sea. Does that mean me?
All right, we're going to take a break.
Does that mean me? Does chicken of the sea mean me?
We're taking a break. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk about what a captain's duty is if a ship is in trouble, either a cruise ship, an aircraft. What is the captain supposed to do? Does he stay on board? Does he leave? Art Griego, not only did he leave like this Italian captain, he ran. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show on the line with us, Art Griego from... Santa Monica, and we're also talking, we were talking with David G. Hall about this Italian cruise ship that flipped over and what the responsibility of a captain is. And when we read these stories, especially coming from this one captain of the guy who was the official of the Maritime Association.
Well, you know, Phil, not to interrupt you, but that guy there says that it's a matter of honor and tradition, but there's no law. And to hold a captain to a law, or rather to hold a captain to a tradition, you know, you have to expect from a captain what the average person would do. And I don't mean to disrespect people. I guess everybody's different, but the average person is going to, you know...
Run for his life?
Yeah, absolutely. The average person's going to run for his life. The average person is not going to try and save humanity. I mean, we like to believe that that's the case, but the reality is, in my 23 years of flying, I've seen all kinds of cowardice. I've seen all kinds of gutlessness. Enough to make you sick to your stomach. I've seen people, you know, and so...
Well, what do you, you know, again, forgive me, but what do you call running from an airplane with an old lady behind you?
And you've got that engineer that's playing chicken of the sea, and...
Well, that was something he worked out with the an official with my company. I didn't ask for that. And that, I think, Bud, probably makes more sense playing it for that captain in Italy, not some guy that flies for a living.
Yeah, but he just said it. The guy's a chicken in the sea.
I'm not on a ship, okay?
All right, let me handle it, all right?
What an idiot.
I know you're not, but you're still a chicken in the sea.
How can I be a chicken of the sea if I'm flying?
I'll handle it. Bud, get out of here with the chicken of the sea.
Okay, it's your funeral.
Oh, yeah, my funeral. All right, what do you call what you did?
What I did was not... I told you, Phil... that as a pilot, I have seen all kinds of crawling cowards in a very dangerous situation. And if you've ever been around real cowardice, real gutlessness, it makes you want to retch. It really does. You leave the situation wanting to vomit. And I would say this. You asked me about the time I ran from that aircraft. That was not cowardice. I told the passengers... I believe that this aircraft is going to be engulfed in flames within seconds after we land. Get out. And I ran. And
so there wasn't enough time to get people off of there?
I did not think so, no.
So when you reached the final point of safety and you turned around and looked back at your aircraft as you said you did you see people?
I saw the people getting out of the airplane.
All right, so they were still getting out of the airplane.
That's right.
And was the plane engulfed in flames?
You really want to trip me up, don't you?
Art, I'm not trying to trip you up. Was the plane engulfed in flames?
What is the point of your question? I don't understand.
The point of my question is to find out, was the plane that you had just run from, and you said to me that...
I want to make sure you're not trying to twist my words.
I'm not twisting any words. What is... When you turned around, you said that you ran. Is that correct?
I don't know how many times you want me to say it, yes.
Okay, you ran from the aircraft, and then you turned around. You said it was going to be engulfed in flames within seconds.
That's what I thought.
All right. You reached a point of some safety where you thought you were far enough away. And
when you just went far enough, is that your way of calling me a hick or a hillbilly? Because I can tell you, Phil, I've had about enough of people who are telling me...
Will you turn that mermaid... Turn that off.
You played it again, huh?
Were you, when you turned around and you saw the aircraft and you saw people still getting off the plane, okay, did you think by then, well, I guess I was wrong, the plane has not blown up?
I turned around and I saw some people crawling out of that aircraft, and I prayed. I prayed. And I like to think that I kept that plane from blowing up by praying more than just hanging around trying to pull somebody out of a back seat.
So, but the plane didn't blow up.
Thank God, no, it was my aircraft. I thank God it didn't blow up. If that plane would have blown up, I'm out about $500,000 when all is said and done. And I'm not talking about the loss of life. I understand the loss of life. God.
All right. That's why I won't belabor it anymore.
Well, I mean, I think the impression's being left here, Phil, that I was
You know, as I've said to you, I've seen some crawling, gutless cowards. I've seen some guys with a big yellow stripe right down their back. Are you trying to say I'm one of them? Well, that pause says yes.
No, it doesn't.
But you paused. You paused.
Yeah, he paused because he believes it.
Who asked? Get out of here, will you?
I'm going to tell you, swear to God, if I ever meet that guy...
Hold on. Just get out of here, bud.
Do you think I'm a crawling, stinking worm of a coward with a bright yellow stripe down my back?
No, I don't. I would not go that far. I think you panicked.
You think I panicked? That's the same thing as calling me a lousy, crawling coward.
And no, it's not. I think you panicked. I think you smelled gas. I think you saw the
And this is the end of the segment, so now everybody out there thinks I'm a filthy, stinking coward. Go ahead, play chicken of the sea. What happened here today, Bill, was the destruction of a man's reputation.
No, it was not. It was an attempt to figure out what happened in Italy. We got into a discussion of you running from an airplane, and you have said that you told everybody, get out while the getting's good, and you ran.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I wish to God I had. I wish to God now I would have burned alive.
That's Art Griego, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Hendry.
Vernon Dozier next on the South Carolina.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this Thursday night. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. And we have live streaming video of the show going over there right now, so you can watch the show as well as listen to it. And we have, of course, all of our archives and all of our podcasts and a great many other really cool things ahead for this coming year at philhendryshow.com. And this evening, very, very, very short little tribute was played on our video feed to the late Johnny Otis. Johnny Otis passed on at the age of 90, very close to where I grew up and where R.C. Collins is located, Altadena, California. Johnny Otis was 90 years of age. He was a great rhythm and blues impresario and in his own right, musician. Anyway, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, we haven't taken down.
Why do you talk like that?
Take it easy, bud, because you know that little high-pitched, what do they call that, tinnitus thing?
Yeah, like the high-pitched whine?
Yeah, it all of a sudden kicked into my left ear, and it made me go, we haven't takedown.
Maybe you got something wrong.
No, it happens every now and again. Yeah, maybe I do. Maybe I got a brain tumor. Take it easy. More like I need a Q-tip to clean my ears. How about that?
That would cause it.
Shut up, man. God. So, in any event, we were... I'm going to belt you if you do that again.
I cut it down like you said.
Great. The Italian captain, by the way, that was a very... that was... Forget it. Coming up, we've got Vernon Dozier on the South Carolina GOP debate. Did you watch it? Very interesting. Very interesting. We're going to get Vernon on the line. He is an educator from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He is the senior class advisor there, as well as a... high school varsity football coach, and he also is a health and science teacher there. And Vernon, I know you were at a viewing party of sorts this evening, huh?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. We got together with a group of our teachers and members of the faculty and some of the parents, some of the members of the parent teacher organization, and we watched this. We want to, by the way, thank the Schmidt family who donated their home this evening and they had a coffee, and we were able to watch the debate and talk about it.
I think that's an admirable thing. The teachers and the parents getting together for something other than school business, huh?
Well, it was the idea of idea of our administrator, I must say, Jim Woodcock, who I think is a great administrator, is a wonderful man, and he believes that when parents faculty, administrators get together for issues other than the well-being of the school or their kids. If they get together and just on a sort of neutral ground, on neutral territory, you get to know each other as people a lot easier. maybe than when you're discussing something as emotional, and it certainly is understandable, as your children. And
I think that's admirable.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, and we talked. I ran afoul. I made some comments that I hope were understood. I got very irritated, and I know we're going to talk about that.
Well, you told me that you have been very disappointed, and you're a conservative. And last night we talked to Larry Grover, who's one of our contributors from Conservatives of Kern County. And I know that you are also a conservative. You were very vocal in your disappointment with Newt Gingrich.
That is correct, yes.
And that has to do with this supposed revelation about wanting an open marriage, even though he's denied this.
Well, Mr. Henry, there's an awful lot of denying that politicians do, and I think most of us are a little sick and tired of being asked to believe these incredible denials. This is not the first time that we had heard these things about Congressman Gingrich. It's not the first time that I've heard about Congressman Gingrich's very unusual and inappropriate social taste, if you will. It's not the first time that I've heard about Congressman Gingrich or Speaker Gingrich's unusual habits when it comes to marriage, women, and so forth. Now, I am very much a conservative, and I fall down along Christian values, and I don't consider my, you know, if you're going to represent Vernon Dozier, and I'm only speaking to myself now as a teacher, if you're going to represent me, brother, you had better be a clean and very right down the line individual. I'm a principled man. I've been through my bad times. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I've done some very, very bad things in my life. But I'm trying desperately now to, you know, be a better man. And I ask that of my president too. And
some people think that we want a perfect president, that we want a perfect morally perfect president, that we've become crazy, that we're not just asking for unrealistic things. That as a population, as an electorate, as a people, the American people have almost lost their minds in this seeking perfection.
Well, I don't think it's losing your mind, Phil, to ask a guy like Newt Gingrich to simply behave like a man to his wife and not be some kind of a sport, some kind of guy that is dallying with the ladies. And I'm putting it mildly. You know,
and his denial of this has no meaning for you.
Why would it have any meaning? Politicians deny this stuff all the time. Politicians are known for denying the very worst aberrations of nature, the very worst aberrations of human behavior, until you find out that, hey, it was true. Let me remind you of a guy. You ever heard of the name John Edwards?
Of course.
Okay. Enough said. This is a guy that denied all the way on up, and including the fact his wife had a brain operation or something.
And no, his wife had breast cancer.
All right, I'm sorry. His wife had breast cancer. Well, who? I thought there was someone needed a brain operation.
Ted's. Well, no. You know what? I'm speaking out of school. I don't know.
Well, in any event, John Edwards lied right on up until the bitter end to each and every American when he said, oh, no, I didn't have anything to do with this woman. And then the truth come out. Newt Gingrich, I feel, has let a lot of us down. I can't vote for him. And I feel that he thinks he's put one over on me. I think that Newt Gingrich believes himself to be some kind of a superior man that the rest of us need to fall in line and follow. I think Newt Gingrich thinks he is. I will even go so far as to say Newt Gingrich thinks he's some kind of a sexual superman, and the rest of us are eunuchs. And
where are you getting that?
Well, I can hear you laughing. And
yes, I'm like, where are you getting that he's a sexual superman?
What would a man? I'll tell you what. If you're known for a guy, you're a guy that wants to have an open marriage. That means you want to sleep with how many different women, okay? And the rest of us are what? If you talk about me or any other man that wants to vote for Newt Gingrich, who's faithful to his wife, he's trying to say, look at the Superman that I am. The rest of you guys stay with your wives. Okay.
First of all, he's denying this, all right?
Well, he may be denying it, but the fact is he thinks he's some kind of a sexual Superman. And he's going to have sex with all these women, and I'm supposed to sit here and be married to one woman, and he's out there, Mr. Super Sex, out there servicing all the ladies. You know. Boy, damn it.
So you think that this is an attitude of his, or it is a...
I don't think it's an ad. I think it's who he is. I think it's who he is. I think he thinks that he is Newt Gingrich, sex, you know, just a sex beast. And the supporters of his, guys like me, stupid idiots like me. And that's the thing that a stupid little man like me, I gave money to his campaign. I said to people, oh, Newt, you know, I think he's great. Only to come and find out. I want to ask these ladies. My wife's talking to a bunch of the, and there's a few of the teachers left. Can you ladies, yeah, I'm on the phone right now. Thank you very much. They're, and I don't want to talk too loud because what we're talking about here is.
I understand.
I think that Newt Gingrich, with his sexual perversions, and that's what I call him, has made a monkey out of everyone that ever supported him. And I think that the time has come now for me to say to Newt Gingrich and the rest of us who support Newt Gingrich, you think you're some kind of a stud with your open marriage and your 500 girlfriends. Well, we're not all little tiny eunuchs.
So you're not going to vote for him?
I am not voting for him, no.
Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for Rick Santorum.
And do you think he has a chance to be president?
Not a chance, no.
So you're basically, you've given up on...
I'm giving up on our candidate. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question. But I'm not going to vote for some guy who is like an alley cat. I'm not voting for some guy that's like an alley cat living in a garbage can. And that's what Newt Gingrich is talking about when he wants to have all this, you know, all these women.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier here. He is a supporter of Newt Gingrich. He's shifting his vote to Rick Santorum as long as he stays in the race, huh?
As long as Rick Santorum's in, I don't know how much longer, and I don't, you know, whether these guys are going to make the California primary. I don't even know when the California primary is.
I think the California primary's been moved up.
Well, yeah, I may have an opportunity to vote for Rick Santorum, but I'm not going to vote for Romney, that's for sure, because he's too liberal. And Gingrich, I wouldn't vote for a guy that, you know, if you left it up to Gingrich, he'd probably sleep with your wife. That's how I feel about that.
This is a betrayal, it sounds like.
It's an absolute betrayal. An absolute betrayal.
You feel that it's a betrayal of morality?
It's a betrayal of principle, of morality. And he's showing his colors. He's saying to us now, okay, now here's another layer that you need to look at. See, I'm even more than you thought I was. I am sort of a beast, a super beast. And if I need it, you know, and I do believe that if the time and the place was right, Mr. Hendry, he may ask of his supporters, I want to, you know, do it with your wife.
Well, you don't literally mean that.
No, but I'm saying that's the kind of personality he is.
All right, we're talking here with Vernon Dozier, and we are discussing the South Carolina debate that just occurred. And as far as you're concerned, it's over. You're not supporting Gingrich, and I didn't even ask you how you thought he did in the debate. You're going with Santorum, and we'll find out what other people think, too. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Did this news about Gingrich and the open marriage, did that affect your vote? Does it affect your support for Newt Gingrich? Does it give you a stronger sense of another candidate? Just what? Vernon Dozier on the line with us as well tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Art Griego. Excuse me, not Art Griego. We had Art last hour. This is Vernon Dozier. Wherever you are, Art, thank you. Vernon Dozier has joined us. Did you hear that, Vernon?
Uh, Yeah, I heard some of that. That was a quite a conversation with that guy. If I just would venture an opinion, I think that guy was very much suspect himself. I don't see how you can run from an aircraft.
Well, that was my feeling, you know, and I didn't want to come out and call the guy a coward.
Well, that's what he thought you were calling him, though, but that was very unusual.
All right, we're talking with Vernon here about the South Carolina debate. We're talking certainly about your views as they pertain to Newt Gingrich. And your feeling is very clear that Newt Gingrich's this idea that he wants an open marriage has cost him at least your vote.
It has cost him my vote. That's right. I don't know why it hasn't cost him every single vote. I'm a little tired of being taken advantage by some of these people who, I'm a conservative right down the line. And a guy comes along, calls himself a conservative, and he wants my vote for President of the United States. And then I find out that he has engaged in all kinds of behavior that I would, I would expect it from a Democrat. I expect it from John Edwards. But I don't expect it. I don't want it from a conservative. So I think that Newt Gingrich, and I think that the game that Newt Gingrich has played with voters over the last several years, I think the game, he came out of nowhere and declared for president in this race. I was very surprised by that, but I did like Newt Gingrich. But I was surprised because where was he back in 08 when it was probably more critical? Where was he back in, and maybe he felt that 08 the Republicans couldn't win. It's possible.
Well, that's a thought because these, there seems to be a cycle. I mean, the last time that that any party got three terms out of in the White House, any party got three terms in the White House out of the American people, it was the Republican Party, and it was Reagan on into Bush one. So it was, there was 12 years there, and before that, I guess you could say the. The Republicans didn't.
I think you're right, Phil. I think that before that, I think it was the Democrats with FDR. So when you talk about the strength of a president, you're talking about Ronald Reagan really got three terms, and FDR got four. Although FDR really didn't get four because he died within months. But you know what I'm saying? So, maybe that was what Gingrich was thinking. But he comes in here and wants me to vote for him, and I get excited about it, and next thing you know, he's talking about an open marriage.
Here is Gary. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. We're talking here, by the way, folks, about this, about the debate here this evening. If you wanted to say anything about that, you're more than welcome. Go ahead, Gary.
Right, Phil. Well, I want to ask this guy a question because I'm not sure if I understand what he's saying. You said that you felt that Newt Gingrich, by saying that he wants to... Hello?
Well, we can hear you, Gary. Go ahead.
Right. I was saying to this Vernon...
I'm here. Yes, sir.
You're saying that Newt Gingrich, if he wanted to, he would sleep with our wives. I mean, I don't understand how you get that thinking.
Well, because if he says he wants to have an open marriage,
right,
and he wants to have sex with all kinds of different women, why is he going to stop with your wife?
Well, I think that you're being a little ridiculous if you ask my question, if you ask me a question, because I think he's not stating that he wants to sleep with any wife in particular,
I'm saying, where's he going to stop? If Newt Gingrich wants to have an open marriage and he wants to sleep with a lot of women, would he stop with your wife? Would he stop with my wife?
I think if you were to take this man at his word for what he says, I think he's saying that he wants to have an open marriage. He didn't say he wants to sleep with married women.
Right. He's not talking about sleeping with a lot of married women.
I don't know that. Look, if you say you want to have an open marriage, and that means that you're sleeping with other women and you're married, then I would assume he's not going to stop just because a woman's married. And how does that make you feel, Gary, that Newt Gingrich gets to go out and sleep with all these women, and you've been, following a conservative viewpoint, and you're at home with one woman?
Well, I love my wife. I don't know.
I know you love your wife. I love my wife. But it still is going to grate on your nerves that there's a guy out there who is president of the United States, who's a conservative, who you supported, and he's out and basically He's got his nose in it in something different every night.
All right, let's clean it up a little bit.
You say he's got his nose in every night. You're saying that he's out with a different woman every night.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And you're saying it's going to bother you. I don't know, even if it was true, and I'm not sure that it is true, but I don't know that it's going to bother me.
Let me tell you something. It's going to bother you if it's your wife. That's what I'm trying to say. I wish you'd listen to me. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you.
All right. Because, you know, Gary, you're a good man, but you seem a little slow.
Well,
hold on for a minute. You seem a little slow. Newt Gingrich is going to go out and sleep with everything he can find. And it might be some night he finds his way into your bedroom. And I'm saying this figuratively, you know.
Well, that, you know, I just think you're a little paranoid.
Yeah, I mean, you're creating these scenarios.
Right, you're creating some scenarios about Newt Gingrich, you know.
All right, let me ask it a different way. Is it okay with you if Newt Gingrich sleeps with your wife?
I don't know. You know, the way you say that, it doesn't have any effect on me, really.
It doesn't have any effect. Is it all right if Newt Gingrich sweats and makes grunting noises in your bed with your wife?
See, that doesn't sound like reality.
What do you mean it doesn't sound? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just get, you know, Mr. Henry, would you get some smarter callers, please?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm smart. I'm trying to listen to you.
Gary, I don't mean anything, but you're an idiot. You're just an idiot. And you disgust me.
Well, I'm trying to understand. Would you get this idiot away from me, please?
Gary, we got to take a break.
I'm trying to understand.
Would you please get the idiot away from me?
All right, we'll take a break. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier on the South Carolina debate. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
You know, I mean, what are you trying to say?
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier joining us from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And point of fact, they were at a dinner this evening, actually a coffee this evening, for parents and for educators there at Belmar. They were watching the South Carolina debate and sort of discussing it. And Vernon, your feelings about Newt Gingrich are very strong. Now, you had strong opinions about the last caller, a gentleman who didn't seem to understand what you were saying.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I don't like people that are not intelligent. And that man, and he's indicative of a lot of supporters of Newt Gingrich. He's a man that's not very bright. He doesn't get the fact that Gingrich is proposing to go out and get what the rest of us don't get, what I can't get, and he don't get. And he doesn't get. Excuse my English. I'm a teacher, but I'm a little upset. And
you're upset? What are you upset about?
What am I upset about?
Yeah.
I just watched a man that I have admired for many years come out on TV and say that he wants to sleep with all these wives.
And he didn't come out. In fact, he denied it.
I know he denied it. That's what politicians do. They lie. But he come out and say, I'm going to have an open marriage, and the rest of you guys can sit there and suck your thumbs.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, this guy acts like that he is the most perfect, just guy in the world. People make mistakes, and he has no substantial proof that any
people
of this
mistakes.
Happened. Thinks that he's better than anybody else, telling people how they're not very bright. You know, it takes a pretty shallow man
well,
to treat
the last
like
man,
that.
The last gentleman that was on the phone with me, man, was stupid. He sounded like a guy that gets run all over town by a lot of people, and I was trying to set him straight.
Oh, and it's your place to set him straight?
Well, ma'am, with all due respect,
it's people like you who don't have respect for other people.
I have a lot of respect for people.
They can run all over everybody else.
I have respect for people that respect themselves. And if you think Newt Gingrich, and you're a woman, and I don't know who you're married to.
Wait a minute. I never said that I was supporting Newt Gingrich, so don't even try to step on
me there. So you're just going to sit on the fence. You're going to sit on the fence and take pot shots. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. You sit on the fence.
You have no
You take your pot shots. Well, then why don't you tell us a little something about you instead of taking your pot shots from the fence?
I am a very conservative Republican woman.
Step into the fray. Step into the fray. Where do you stand? Where do you stand?
I'm going to give you. I don't owe you anything. I owe you.
Well, and you don't have. So, in other words, you don't have the guts. To say where you stand.
You are
in the world. You take a look at this country today, ma'am. People have got to stand up and say where they stand, and you ain't got the guts.
Hey, let's not be confrontational like that. What's the point?
Because, Phil, our country's in trouble. And I got a lady on the line here who's finding all kinds of fault with me, but she ain't got the guts. Now, you got the guts, or don't you, ma'am?
That has to put everybody else down.
I ain't putting you down. I'm just asking you where do you stand.
You're telling me I'm a fence rider? Telling this gentleman before?
That's right.
He's not very intelligent?
Is that guy on the line, Bud? That guy, Gary, is he still on the line? You talking to him? Can you put him on?
You're going to put that last guy on, Phil. I told you I don't want to talk to him because he is an idiot.
I want to talk to him.
She's laughing at me putting him down.
Absolutely, I'm laughing at you because you're a fool.
I'm a fool?
Gary?
Answer me this.
Gary, let me ask you a question. Man? Hold on for just a second. I got Gary on the line. Where do you live, Gary?
Phil, I live in New York City.
You live in Manhattan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got you back on the line because I have a lady here who is taking your side. And
Well, what is this, Phil? Are you going to gang up on me?
Hold on for a minute. I just want to allow Gary to express himself. You were very over the top with him.
I told him that he was stupid. Gary, this is Vernon.
Yes, sir.
You're stupid, aren't you?
I don't know, sir. I don't call myself stupid. I call myself a concerned citizen.
But you're an idiot.
No, sir, I'm not an idiot.
Why do you call him that?
Because if I can't make sense with this lady who wants to sit on the fence and take her pot shots, I want to make sense with this man who has a wife. You have a wife, right, sir?
Yes, I do.
And you love her?
Very much so.
Well, Newt Gingrich wants to sleep with her.
I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way.
And the lady that's laughing? Newt Gingrich, if he came to town, he'd want to sleep. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. He might want to sleep with her.
Okay, you know something? We don't need that kind of Gary, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
And, Jessica, anything else?
What happened to Gary? I wanted to tell Gary something.
You already told him that he's an idiot and he's stupid and a lot of things.
He is stupid. He's stupid because Newt Gingrich is coming for his wife. He's stupid because he doesn't even think he has the right to go out and get a little himself. He's stupid because he still supports Newt Gingrich. And he's stupid because he let Jessica here speak on his behalf and didn't say a word, and she just buried him. She buried his case. You might as well have taken him and buried him head first in the sand. You see how I intimidate people? You see how I am so powerful that Jessica is finally shut up. Gary's gone. You ain't even saying nothing, Mr. Henry. You know why?
I've heard one of these
things tonight,
and that's you.
I kick ass.
You don't control anybody. You don't intimidate anybody, especially not me.
Who's
you
this?
Know, there
who
is.
Who am I speaking with?
You are a fool, and
you must not be
a very good Christian man.
I'm very, very Christian. I would have allowed them to nail me.
And that is certainly not you. You are not powerful, and you are not intimidating.
If I'm not powerful, then why would I have allowed the Romans to nail me to the cross? Answer me that.
What kind of a ridiculous statement is that? What is that?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, are you a Christian?
I'm Catholic.
All right, in other words, you're not.
Yeah, whatever you say, man.
Okay. Catholics are Christian, too.
No, they are not. They are not Christian. Mr. Henry understands that. He knows that he's outside the Christian circle.
No, I don't understand that. We believe in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the Last Supper in our Mass. We celebrate the Last Supper in our Mass. When Jesus, you know...
Yeah, what did he do?
Well, I'm not a...
Thank you. Thank you. So why don't you just keep your Catholic mouth? And I'm talking to this Jessica now. Now, woman...
I'm not
Catholic. I understand.
I'm not
Good.
Catholic, but I am a fellow Christian. And regardless of the faith, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ is on my side.
Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, so I'm on your side.
And you don't have the right to put down other Christians like that.
Well, ma'am, I'm trying to protect the church. And when Mr. Henry has more allegiance to some guy wearing, and I hate to be a smartass, some guy wearing a cardboard hat in Rome, I got a problem.
Some guy wearing a cardboard hat in Rome. Would that be the Pope?
Bingo.
Hmm.
Wow.
You know, I feel sorry.
You know what? You know, you guys, you people.
You must not feel very good about yourself to have to be so critical and judgmental of other people.
Ma'am, I came on the program tonight to talk about a guy, Newt Gingrich, who I supported 8,000,000% till I found out that he wanted to sleep with every woman, including you. And you're not offended by that. I find
no,
that
absolutely
weird.
Not, because I'm a Christian woman and I know where I stand.
But what about Newt Gingrich? Where do you stand on him?
It's not my place to judge Newt Gingrich.
I bet you do support him. I bet you are going to vote for him. Maybe it turns. Well, I better not say it.
Maybe you better not.
I bet you
insecure little man. I feel for people like you.
There you go. You see what this is? What Gingrich did? She's calling me little. Gingrich did that to her.
How is Newt Gingrich doing
that?
That's what you didn't...
No, Gingrich did that when he said, I'm going to go out and sleep with all these women, and now Dozier's got a little one.
You must not respect anybody. Do you respect your own wife?
Who are you talking about?
Is this the way that you talk to your wife, too? If you disagree with your wife, is this the way you treat her?
I have my opinions, and my wife accepts them. My wife and I have a great age difference. There's a 30-year... Excuse me, there's a 30-year age difference between myself and my wife, so you would expect that there's a whole lot she doesn't know. In exchange for me educating her. So you're laughing again.
I know
why you're laughing.
Very funny.
I'm 55 years old and I got a 20.
And you can't tell me that there's anything more that you know than I do.
Ma'am, you're a little old for me when it comes to wives. I don't doubt that you're intelligent, ma'am, when it comes to certain things. How to prepare possum for dinner, for instance.
Okay, you know, Mr. Dozier, I've listened to your little innuendos here long enough.
What do you mean, wow? That wasn't that big of a put-down.
That was a smart-ass comment that takes us outside the area of conversation. You mentioned you're 30 years older than your wife. There's things that you know that she doesn't know. And then this lady didn't pick up on what you said. When she said she's 37, you said, that's a little old for me.
Yeah, when it comes to wives... I'm not talking about, I'll talk to her. I'm just saying when it comes to marrying material, she's way outside of my parameters.
I'd have to be a blind fool to marry somebody like you. Somebody that doesn't respect another human being.
Ma'am, up until yesterday when Newt Gingrich said...
You may not agree, and you may not want to vote for Newt Gingrich.
Gingrich?
There's no concrete evidence that he has done anything.
Well, let's just look at the evidence.
You know, that's what happens in the political life is that people get accused of a lot of things, whether they be true or not.
Newt Gingrich's wife said
and you've got these
that's
ideas
good enough for
in
me.
Your head, so you're just going to run wild with them, and you're going to make all of these funky accusations.
Well,
you
proved one of the points when I said that Gingrich was out sleeping with women to make me look small, and you just said I was a little man.
But are you worried that someone's going to sleep with your wife? Is that what this is about? Are you that insecure about life?
That's what I think of you.
Well, that was real grown up. All right, you know, Jessica, you've put up with enough. I appreciate very much your phone call, and you made a very good show of yourself.
Oh, she was a ball breaker.
Well,
you know,
Phil,
Vernon,
you put on a great show, and I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Tonight.
I appreciate.
Have a great night.
Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL.
cast the net break.
You know something? You do acquit yourself rather poorly, and she made a very good point that you sound like you're very insecure.
Why wouldn't I be insecure when there's a guy running for president who says he wants to sleep with everybody? And that woman you just had on, she's going to say her prayers tonight, because with Newt Gingrich, when he rolls into town, when she sees Gingrich rolling into town, and she'll know it's him, she'll see the big wide-brimmed white hat, see that big six-horse team that he's got, brand-new covered wagon. When he comes into town, you better lock your women folk up, because I'll tell you, Gingrich.
The big six-horse team, huh?
What did I say?
We'll take a break here.
Oh, wait, hold on just a bit.
We'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Yep. Yep. When you see Gingrich's six-horse team and his big wide hat and his new covered wagon pull into town, lock up your women folk. 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, man, is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What did I say? Did I say something dumb?
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier is on the line with us, an educator from Glendale, California. Vernon is also a kind of a go-to guy on politics for us. He's a political science teacher, and he also does some political science teaching at the junior college up there at Moore Park. And we have Vernon with us as we talk about the debate. We're going to go to some other phone calls tonight. I also want to get you explaining a couple of things that you said, Vernon. But most of what you've been talking about tonight is you are done with Newt Gingrich, that Newt Gingrich is a moral reprobate as far as you're concerned. You don't buy the fact that he was not asking for an open marriage at all, correct?
That is correct, Phil. I don't buy it at all. I don't believe I'm amazed. I am stunned. But I should expect it, because as I said to that gentleman from New York, who is a very nice man, he's an idiot.
Well, you've been spending a lot of time calling people names.
No, sir, just the idiot, just the gentleman from New York, and I did call him an idiot. I did, and I'm sorry, but the last lady...
Well, you said to her, possum recipes and...
Phil, I think what you need to do is open your ears a little bit. That woman came on loaded for bear. All she wanted to do was geld me like a stallion. And I really feel that she didn't have the guts. And I asked her, too. I said, do you have the guts to state what you believe tonight? And she's, you heard her. She was, And so I said, are you going to get some guts? And she said, no. I said, And so I said to her, no, she said to me, you're a little man. I said, right there, Newt Gingrich has gotten to you, because Gingrich, by wanting to sleep with all these women, wants the rest of us men who support him to be his itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, cocktail Frank waiters. Hello?
I'm here, and the reason why I'm pausing is because what you just said sounded really, really stupid.
Mr. Hendry, are you a teacher? No, you're not. Do you have a college degree? No, you don't.
It doesn't make any difference. What you just said sounded really, really stupid. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Fred. Hi, Fred. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Vernon Dozier.
I agree.
I have a college degree in political science.
I'm sorry. Start again, Fred.
I agree with you on Gingrich for a lot of other reasons besides what you're talking about. But Romney holds a dual citizenship and was born in Mexico. Santorum was caught with a prostitute while married and was covered up in Pennsylvania. Ron Paul is the only one that is honest and with integrity, and he wants to legalize drugs to stop these killings on the borders. And the only one that has some idea how to solve our fiscal problems. And you must remember, because he doesn't want to go to war, Congress declares war, not the President of the United States like Obama and the UN did, and these other candidates are talking like warmongers. Let Congress do its job and declare the wars. And that's what
I would remind the gentleman. I would remind the gentleman that the war in Iraq was debated in the Congress, and there was an approval for the war in Congress under George Bush. So I agree with you on Obama. Obama doesn't know where he's coming or going. Now, when it comes to Newt Gingrich, I'm glad you do agree with me, sir. Newt Gingrich is a moral reprobate and is trying to belittle you and me and everyone. Now, Santorum is my man. You say he was caught with a prostitute? I missed that.
And he was also,
when was that?
He was also linked to the Penn State coach that's in trouble right now. He belonged to that kids organization that they are supposed to be taking care of kids. Now,
this guy Santorum is that NAMBLA?
What do you mean NAMBLA?
No, you said the kids organization.
No,
the one that what's it called? Fred 2 Mile or what is it called? 2 Extra Mile?
I don't know what it was called, but it was a kids group.
It's called NAMBLA.
No, it's not NAMBLA.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
you have to check it out and find out.
I will. Yes, sir, I will. Okay. I will very much. Now, you mentioned Ron Paul. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, and I think Ron Paul is a man who's, he cares about his country, but this is a guy he's way out there. You're aware of that, right?
He doesn't want to start a war. He wants food.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I'm saying that before he attacks.
But go ahead.
Yeah. I'm saying this is a guy that needs to be, I'm sorry to say, I think he needs to be looked at.
Looked at how?
I think he needs a psychiatrist.
I don't believe so. In the first place, wisdom comes with age. And I think he's got a lot more wisdom than what these other clowns, candidates have. That's my opinion.
I think the guy's from outer space. But to each his own, sir. Best of luck to you, but boy.
You think he's from outer space? Why?
He's got all of these newsletters. Huh?
If we don't not. These, solve
Donut.
Our fiscal problems and get rid of the Federal Reserve Board, we will have no country. We're not $15 trillion in debt. That $15 trillion is $50,000 for every man, woman, and child. At 100,
I can afford it. I got 50 G's.
At $100 trillion for unfunded liabilities and obligations, it's $333,000 for every man, woman, and child.
Hello?
I think he hung up.
No, I think Bud put him on hold.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, Vernon.
Well, I've got much more to say. And if anybody would like to meet me for coffee, I'll be at the Rod Show. I'll be at Tiny Man.
Phil Hendry.
Here, Madre Boulevard.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour here on this Thursday night, and glad to be with you here, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Thank you to Vernon Dozier and to our Art Griego and that whole goofy thing with a very tragic story with the ship running aground there in Italy. So thanks to our guests. Thank you, folks, for your input this evening. Although Vernon was pushy with that one guy from New York, calling him an idiot, and then with that one lady, Jessica, very nice lady, who he said was leaving herself wide open to Newt Gingrich's charms. Now,
that was pretty weird.
Weird? That don't even tell half the story of that guy. So, welcome back to our program. A note that we'd like you to visit our website. This is the strong right arm of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the Phil Hendry Show website. It's where you can get live streaming audio. You get the live streaming video cast of the show each and every day. You can also watch this on demand, too, if you miss this video cast at any given, or this broadcast. If you're listening to us and you haven't heard the entire show, or there are nights where you miss the show, you can get the podcast the next day Very, very simply, go to our website, get a backstage pass, and get our podcast. If you want to hear it for free, you can hear it for free. There is a streaming version on our site. So if any part of the radio show you miss, you go the next day to the streaming site or to the actual streaming link there and listen to a stream of the previous night's show. We have archives, and also we have our shop, and the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is the hit of the season. You might want to pick up your hoodie. It's still cold throughout the country, and even here in California, the surfers are picking up their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie because it's a nice, toasty, warm thing to wear out there at 4 a.m., when you are in the pitch black trying to, you know, catch a wave and ride the wild surf. You guys are nuts, man. I'm going to tell you.
So I saw a guy the other day walking down the street, and he's in a wetsuit like 7 a.m.
They must be freezing their asses off out there. I see those guys. You're right. Where our El Pacifico studio is located, we often see surfers coming from the beach, and they're walking down the street to their car. Nothing wrong with that. It just makes me cold looking at them because these cats are in wetsuits from head all the way down to their feet and their heads are covered up and they look like they're freezing their asses off.
You know what those guys told me to do?
What?
Can I say? Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Shut up. I'm going to do it.
What?
Well, they pee.
Yeah, they pee in their suit.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, sure.
You have?
Yeah. They urinate right into their suit because it keeps them warm.
You kidding me? That's perverted.
Why is it? That ain't perverted, man. It's got nothing to do with perversion.
It's not perversion, bud, so much as it just is. It's unusual, but hey, it keeps them warm. What do you want them to do, bud? Do you want them to get out of the water and go to the head and go to the bathroom and get back into their wetsuit and walk all the way down and get back on their board and go back? Are you nuts?
Yeah, but you're peeing all over yourself.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, the astronauts did that.
Now you're really nuts.
No, I'm not. The astronauts did that. Before they came up with a way for the astronauts to urinate into some kind of receptacle, it's a very famous part of Tom Wolfe's book, The Right Stuff. I think it was John Glenn or somebody, might have been John Glenn, was laying up there on top of that rocket waiting for that thing to blast off, and he suddenly had to go to the bathroom. And he said to Mission Control or whoever the hell, you know, Cape Canaveral, he said, hey, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but I got to go. And they'd never, ever thought of that eventuality. Because keep in mind, in those days, space travel was one revolution, two revolutions, maybe, and you're back on Earth. It was literally a matter of minutes. Because I remember this as a kid, you know, I was in second grade when Alan Shepard went up, and I remember them saying, boy, Alan Shepard went into space today. Well, in subsequent years, I looked at Alan Shepard's flight. It was nothing. It was he got into outer space and came straight back down. It was about 15 minutes. He didn't even orbit the Earth. And then I guess it was a few others, and then came John Glenn. Well, what happened was John Glenn's up there in the capsule on top of this huge Saturn rocket. And there's all kinds of this liquid fuel and steam, and there's all this, you know, all this noise. And they're back there at Mission Control, and they're making all their adjustments, and they're pushing buttons, and they're making sure everything's going to be cool. And Glenn's like, would you guys come on? And because he was going to do one, I don't know what he did, maybe one or two revolutions around the planet, around Earth. And then he's back, you know.
How long back will it take?
I don't know, maybe an hour?
Nah, it's going to take longer than that.
I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to go around the Earth twice in outer space. It can't be that long. But he came back that day. Anyway, they had never thought of it, if you can believe it. Never. It had never entered NASA's... The proof is there was nowhere for the guy to go. If you had to go in the capsule there during the early days of Gemini, and that's what that was, the early Gemini project, when they began to orbit the Earth, that was Gemini. Where are we supposed to? And so all of a sudden, the guys at NASA were faced with this, wow, you know, what are we going to do? And the guy said to him, might have been Alan Shepard, maybe. They looked at it, and they looked at the suit, and they said, well, is there anything going to short out? No. And so they said, you know what? Let her rip, man. You know, go ahead.
What's that mean?
It means they said, go ahead and urinate into your suit if you have to. If you have to go and there's no... We're sure as hell we're not going to unscrew the hatch and pull you out of there just so you can go to the bathroom. It ain't going to happen. So you might as well go ahead and go in your suit. And that's what he did. And I think they even featured in the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a part where all the sensors went off and stuff.
All the sensors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened, I guess. It lit up every one of the sensors on the suit that were otherwise monitoring his physiology. So it's kind of an interesting part. But it's funny what you think of, what you don't think of. And all that multi-million dollar gadgetry and all of that stuff and everything that they planned for and everything that they had, every contingency. And, oh, guess what? There's nowhere for the guy to go. And there was a lot of things they didn't think of. The hatch and the exploding bolts and the thing that happened with Grissom. It's an amazing story. And I don't know how we got on this, but it was urinating into, surfers, because it's cold. That's great. All right, so you heard the comments of Vernon Dozier there on the South Carolina debate. He didn't say jack diddly about the debate. He was talking about how Gingrich wants to sleep with your wife.
Yeah, I did an informal phone poll, and the people would call him in. They thought he's nuts.
Well, I think that goes without saying. In the electric debate on Thursday night in North Charleston, South Carolina, the four remaining Republican presidential candidates clashed sharply over who has the temperament, character, and know-how to lead the party into a general election as they clamor to take advantage of the race's changing dynamic. Newt Gingrich, on the record here, said it was despicable of the news media to raise questions about a previous marriage. A feisty Rick Santorum offered himself as the only true conservative in the race and accused his two main rivals for playing footsie with the left. Frontrunner Mitt Romney again became defensive under pressure to release his tax returns, saying that he would not apologize for being successful in America and that he would release his returns in April. See, right there is a defensive. That's a negative word. That sounds like his temperament is off. He wasn't defensive at all. Not at all. I watched this thing, and I assume that the reporter for the Washington Post watched it, but you never know. No, he didn't become defensive at all. He was asked a question, why won't you release, or will you? And he said, I might, I don't know. He said, what we're doing is preparing our income taxes, and we're going to get them done for last year. And yeah, we'll release those. How many more we'll release, we're not sure. So John King kept pressing, and he said, well, your father, he released, he said he would release 10 years. He said, well, are you going to follow your father's lead? He said, maybe, maybe not, which I thought was very funny. And he even laughed at his own joke, but John King didn't, and so that meant that it fell flat, and
anyway, there are a bunch of liberals on CNN.
And there are a bunch of liberals on CNN. So, read of this thing, Romney didn't hurt himself as much as maybe the Washington Post think he'd. No, he didn't. I think Gingrich bounced back from whatever damage might have been done with that marriage comment. Did he bounce back enough to actually win the primary? Because, as we mentioned to you last night, 21%. Is a long bounce. That's what we had yesterday, 21% between him and Romney, in the lead in South Carolina. Rick Santorum was fine, except he ain't going to get elected president of the United States. He's just not. And the reason is, I believe let's take two things here. The guy's a conservative, and he thinks that that's really great. No, it's not. It may win you the nomination, which would be a mistake for the Republicans. The Republican Party is not just a party of conservatives. The Republican Party is center to right, but it's not far right, and it's not even right. So to say that...
Yeah, it's wrong.
Remember that thing in Red Book I said?
That was funny. He goes, he says, what do you do? I write. No, you're wrong.
Yeah, that was all right, man. They hit him in the teeth with a rifle butt.
Yep. All right, fine. You guys were watching Reds. Good for you. What do you do? I write. No, you wrong. Anyway,
that was the funniest part.
Get out of here, will you, bud? So, Santorum saying, I'm a conservative. I'm the only conservative. Well, that's great. Okay, so maybe you win. Maybe you win the nomination. You will not get elected president. You're not going to get elected president. A Republican could win. But the American people are not that in love with the far right as much as a lot of those guys, any more than they're in love with the far left. You know, and so when you say that it is the ideology of one or the other that really drives a party and drives the nomination and really that's where your real support comes from, That may well be, in the right years, that may get you elected. This ain't the year. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that while Obama is still under 50% in approval, I believe that Obama has gained rather than lost in terms of the ultimately the trust, the real trust of the American voter. I'm not talking about those heady days after he got elected and everybody was just in love and it was Obama summer, or whatever the hell they call it, Obama spring, American spring. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about at the nadir of that damn economic meltdown when everyone thought it was just a major disaster. I personally don't believe that Obama is quite as in the tank as you know, at the bottom of the barrel as some people think in terms of approval, you know.
I don't care.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I didn't ask you whether you cared or not.
Move on to something else.
Yeah. What about that memo that... Will you get that Johnny Otis? I love Johnny Otis. Get it out of here, okay?
I didn't play Johnny Otis. I was going to play something else.
What? Chicken of the sea. Get out of here with the chicken of the sea. All right, we'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, and it is our news and information hour. Stick around. We have more to talk about. Chicken of the sea, I mean the situation there in Italy. The feds have shut down Mega U Upload. Oh, boy, this SOPA thing. I got to explain this because it's a cluster, if you know what I mean. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry show. Phil Henry Show.
You showed a headline there. That is from what paper is that, bud?
I don't know. That's the Washington Post.
Seafarers outraged at Italian captain accused of jumping ship. Yeah, we were dealing with that with Art Griego. Welcome back to our program here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. It's a couple of those Italian cruise ship stories that we may or may not get to. Here's one that dovetails with this story about SOPA, S-O-P-A, Stop Online Piracy Act. That's what that means. Many of my Spanish-speaking friends were saying, hey, what's all this talk about soup? Which, by the way, albondigas is my favorite Hispanic soup, or Mexican, if you will.
Yay!
Thank you. Now then, and I know exactly where to get it. It's a place called I Chihuahua in Fillmore, but I digress.
Man, I went out. That's the best albondigas soup I ever had.
What's the name of it?
Well, I'll tell you later.
You told him. Why don't you tell me?
Because I ain't talking about that right now.
Call that Chihuahua, Fillmore.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, you know what? I may have to stop going there now because you're going to send everybody over there and they're going to make millions and they'll expand and they will become a big success story. And the next thing you know, they're going to be making tacos and it'll be a, you know, like a McDonald's. All right, now, Stop Online Piracy Act. You've seen it. Why does it matter to you? Why should you give a hoot and a half? Well, here's why. It's a way, it's a law, and it may be a very ill-advised law. I believe at the end of the day it is. However, a lot of the people that are opposed to it on a sort of a knee-jerk, monkey-see-monkey-do, you know, philosophy. I don't think 90% of the people that are opposed to the Stop Online Piracy Act really know what it is. Because I was talking to a few of them on Twitter today, and they're all about, like, you know, hey, well, what about fair use? Just really stupid questions that I got nothing to do with Stop Online Piracy. Why should you care? Because right now there is thievery going on. I don't know, maybe you don't care, but some people make their living by way of product that they protect with a copyright. And that means that if it is a copyright-protected piece of material, you must have permission from the copyright holder to use it. That's what the law says. Is it the right law? Is it the wrong law? Do you want to talk about the law? You know, a lot of these pea brains that operate on the internet think that it's up for discussion. No, it ain't. It's the law. Now, you can change it if you want. You can make a better law. But right now, that law protects not multi-billionaire companies. It protects a lot of small people, too. So we have in the United States this copyright protection law called the Digital Millennium Act. It is our law here in America. It works very, very well. Small copyright holders, as well as large copyright holders like Sony Pictures and these big companies, they're all protected, and they're protected very well. However, something has happened internationally. International torrent sites, and those are sites that take material and just, post it and share it. You can call yourself a torrent site. Doesn't make any difference. If you are hosting or linking or otherwise making available to people material that is copyright protected and the holder asks you to take it down, the law says you must take it down. International law. But there are people internationally that don't adhere to that. There are people in Sweden, for instance, Pirate Bay, which actually posts the takedown letters and makes fun of them. There are people in those countries that take copyright-protected material, and they post it, and when they're asked to take it down, they tell people to stick it up their ass. Excuse my French. So, what do you do about that? Now, here's where the confusion comes in. The people that are opposed to the Stop Online Piracy Act, most of them are talking about fair use and a bunch of horse dung that's already dealt with in the United States. It's got nothing to do with any of that. They're talking about safe harbor. It's got nothing to do with that. They're talking about, it has nothing to do with it. All it is something that tries to put enforcement teeth into protecting a copyright holder in the United States who is being exploited or violated by a foreign torrent site. You can't go over there as the United States government and say to the Swedish Pirate Bay, hey, Jackball, take my stuff down. Yeah, stick it. That's what they tell you. What happened in recent years is that Hollywood lawyered up big time, and they went to the Swedish courts with their Swedish lawyers, Sony, Warner Brothers, whoever, and tried to get relief through the Swedish courts, and they were partially successful. In fact, they had these individuals jailed at Pirate Bay. They were fined, and I believe the materials were taken down, but I think some of it's gone back up again. So even after all of that, and these offices were raided by the Swedish police, these guys were arrested, and a lot of this stuff is... This Pirate Bay is supported by people because they think that Pirate Bay is only exploiting big money Hollywood. Even Newt Gingrich, who may be bright on a lot of subjects, he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground about this act, even though he does oppose it. And I think it's the right thing to oppose because it's a badly written act. But the problem remains. If it was just Hollywood, I would probably be... likely to agree with a lot of people. What do I care, man? It's Hollywood. But it's not. It's everybody. It's anybody that has a copyright in the United States, a media copyright for audio material, video material, even printed material. Anyone, and these are people, folks, I know them, they write music and they buy themselves, they get the copyright for their sheet music. That stuff gets posted illegally. How do you protect them? That's the question. If you're against Stop Online, if you're against that act, if you don't like the Online Piracy Act, how do you propose to protect small copyright holders in the United States from being exploited internationally? Or do you not care because you're stupid? Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's basically what it would be. That's how I feel. I'm Phil Hendry. That's one man's opinion. We have to take a break. Phil Hendry Show, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I guess I'm stupid.
Well, we know that.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Now, I didn't think you would understand what I was saying. It's so complicated. All I'm telling you, and you got to understand, so where does that lead us? I was just giving you a background there on Stop Online Piracy, because there's a big story in the news today. Not one day after there was a very ostentatious demonstration of opposition to the Online Piracy Act, which, by the way, I support that opposition, because the Online Piracy Act, which is an act that they proposed to pass to deal with this problem of international torrent sites, international internet thieves, if you will, taking material from, say, the United States or any country and posting it illegally and ignoring takedown notices, ignoring the copyright holder when he says, hey, excuse me, I own that. Could you take that off your site? How do you deal with that? Well, this Online Piracy Act is not a good solution. It casts too wide a net. I'll give you an example of something that's in this bill. This bill would propose that any torrent site anywhere in the world that is in violation, is infringing copyrights and is in violation of international law that way, or the local law, that any search engine in the United States or under U.S. law may not list that site on their search engine, on search engine results. Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Now, what does that do? You and me, now we got to go through our freaking search engine to make sure that we're not mentioning all of these sites because they're illegal to mention. Because why is that? Because they're copyright infringers. Now what you're doing is you're casting the net too far. And not only that, you're sticking your nose into some areas that they, you know, you got no business, Uncle Sam. All right? You're telling me now you're sticking your nose into my bag? I got a search engine, okay? I'm not violating any copyrights. I'm not breaking the law. I got a search engine. Well, yeah, but people are finding the name of this company that's in violation of the law in your search engine. So? So what? So they are. So maybe people ought to get educated enough to know that when they look up the company that they just found, that these guys are copyright violators, and let the individual decide for himself what he wants to do about that. So the solution to the problem, the Online Piracy Act, is a bad solution. But the problem still exists, and no matter how, and here's something that's just beyond belief. Dig this. This is funny. It's the whole public attitude and reaction to this is really funny. And I hate to use the word stupid, but it seems to get people's attention. It offends people and it pisses them off. And it makes people not want to hear any more of your message, but I can't think of any other word that's more appropriate than that word when it comes to the discussion of these matters in the American, you know, dialogue. But there's a site called megayouupload.com. The United States has shut it down. Not one day after this huge demonstration of opposition to a piracy act that is a bad act. But nonetheless, it was an attempt to address a problem that is existing. And here's one of the problems that exists. But part of the problem, megayouupload.com. It is a site that is a torrent site. They illegally host material that the copyright holders don't want to have hosted or posted or up or down or whatever you want to call it. And they don't care. They put it up there anyway. I mean, what's that? I don't understand that. People will say, it's internet freedom. Internet freedom. Oh, okay. So you don't get to have a copyright, I guess, on anything. Oh, yeah. And a lot of these morons that support internet freedom, they don't want to get into the discussion because they're not, they've got pea shooters. I mean, it's a mob, and they just scream and they yell. And because it's anonymous that does a lot of this hacking, which is just basically a whole lot of trolls. And if you saw that one guy from Britain, remember that mouth breather they arrested?
Oh, yeah, that guy, he looked like he had something wrong with his head.
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, that's what they all look like, that guy. So anyway, federal prosecutors have shut down one of the world's largest file-sharing sites, megayouupload.com, on charges of violating piracy laws a day after a 24-hour blackout of popular websites such as Wikipedia drew national attention to the issue. Whatever Wikipedia, I don't know what their point was. Wikipedia is the least likely to be affected by anti-piracy laws. What the hell? I don't get it. So, the action is among the largest criminal copyright cases ever brought by the United States. The indictment accuses 7 individuals and 2 corporations, Mega U Upload Limited, Investor Limited, holders of more than $500 million... What? Well, in any event, it accuses 7 individuals and 2 corporations, holders more than $500 million in lost revenue from pirated firms and other sites. It was other content. It was unsealed today. It was at one point the 13th most popular website in the world. In other words, $500 million in lost revenue for people. This is a horribly written article. Mega U Upload, it was written by Fox, so that doesn't surprise me at all. And for you people out there, you really got to get a clue. I know you're a conservative or liberal. You like CNN, you like Fox, whatever. Both CNN and Fox suck. Get with it. They're both, they are no longer news sites. They're now both blogs, man. They are, they're now both propaganda sheets. I can't get one straight story out of Fox to save my ass. They haven't got anybody there that knows how to write news, not objectively, and CNN, double for them. All right, Mega You Upload was unique and only not, and not only because of its massive size and the volume of downloaded content, they had high-profile support from celebrities, if you can believe this. Kim Kardashian, probably because she's just an imbecile, but Alicia Keys and others. Alicia Keys was married to the CEO of this thing. Alicia Keys is a big-time artist. She's got big-time money and big-time, she's got copyrights. But she's probably making so much bread on the downloads that she sells, okay, and her concert dates, all right, and any merchandising, that right now this issue is not affecting her. She doesn't really feel it in the pocketbook when someone's downloading her music illegally or, you know, or without paying for it, let's say. But there are others, Ms. Keys, who are not as popular as you, don't make as much money as you, who do rely more heavily on that copyright protection, and that means something to them. Kim Kardashian, why she supports it, I don't know, other than to just sort of be cool. Because I can tell you one thing, and you know, I could be wrong, but I think Kim Kardashian makes her money as a contract artist. I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think that family owns a large enough portion of that show they do, that Kardashians Take New York, whatever that crap is, and that other damn thing. What's the show called?
Well, you're talking about the Kardashians?
Yeah.
It's called, I don't know, Life with the Kardashians, something like that.
Okay, well, whatever. So that show is owned, the majority of that show, I bet you, is owned by the network that has it, whatever the hell it is, Lifetime. They probably got a piece of it now. They must have a piece, but there's no way. There's no way. So Kim Kardashian makes most of her bread as a contract player on her...
Like perfume and stuff.
On perfume and all that crap. She doesn't understand copyright any more than she probably understands, you know, whether it's the sun's up or it's down or whether that's a moon or where she is, you know. I mean, a beautiful woman, yes, she is, but... It stops right about...
Stops right at her ass.
Yeah, it stops right at the edges of her ass. There you go.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Kim Kardashian stops at her ass.
All right, it's not that funny. The Hong Kong-based company listed Swizz Beatz, a musician who married Keys in 2010 as its CEO. Nice move there, Swizz. You marry Alicia Keys, it gives you a little bit of credibility. You don't look like such a douchebag, right? The individuals in the criminal enterprise each faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison on a racketeering for conspiracy to commit copyright infringement. Here's why this entire issue is still in the fore. Here's why it's in the news. Here's why you and I hear about it. Because if it was just, say, Phil Hendry getting ripped off, if it was just, say, the odd musician getting ripped off, a guy that writes sheet music getting ripped off, somebody who has a recording studio who has the rights to some of the music that he's recorded, some of the producers, it was just small players like us, you wouldn't hear about this because we don't have enough bread. We don't have a voice. I could be on the radio talking about it, but all I'm going to get is a bunch of static from a bunch of dumbasses. Every time I talk about this issue, all I get is static from dumbasses who will, you know, argue with me, but they haven't read the law, they don't understand it, and they just want to, you know, and they don't own anything, and they're not in it for anything other than just to be stupid. But the reason why you guys know about it is because, guess what? Hollywood! Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hollywood. When they get ripped off, they go to war. They go to war, and they have been, they've to the tune of, you saw the number here, $500 million. That's peanuts. It isn't just Mega You Upload. These guys are making news because the United States government said, basically they said this. They said, really, you're having a, you don't want the online pirate? Well, that's, we can understand that. You have every right not to like that. Guess what? Boom! They came in with their big-ass broom, and they swept up Mega You Upload. They're done. Now, why? like I said, Hollywood's got the lawyers, they got the money, and they ain't going to go away. And those guys, they don't like it, you know. There may be internet freedom this and internet freedom that. Those cats are, they are. Now, we had a guy on here, and he was saying...
Remember that one guy said whistling songs?
Well, that guy was a moron. He said, why? Does that mean I can't whistle a song in the shower? That's not what it's about at all. You can whistle. You can even whistle the melody to your neighbor, and you guys can whistle the melody back and forth and say, hey, I really like that song. Can you whistle another song? Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me downloading something if I was, you know, allowed to, and giving it to a friend of mine. There's nothing wrong with that. The law has always been about posting this stuff for the consumption of the public. Do you have the right? And if you don't, then you're supposed to, once the copyright holder asks you to take it down, you're supposed to take it down. The problem arises when these douchebags refuse to take it down because they think they understand the law, and they don't, and they wind up being threatened with lawsuits or having their, you know, their ass taken apart some night in a parking lot, and then they finally, oh, okay, and then they, you know, do what they're supposed to do. With a Pirate Bay located in Sweden, they ain't doing nothing, man.
They're just over there just doing what they want.
Yeah, and then they got their ass thrown in prison. Now, I don't know what Sweden's about. I don't give a damn. You know, Sweden's going to do what Sweden's going to do. And I don't really like a U.S. law that starts to stick its enforcement nose into a man's search engine. That's a private business, it's whatever, because some piece of crap in Sweden or in Canada, which is where I had my problems, some freaking Canadian living in his mom's, you know, living in his mom's closet, probably wearing his mom's clothes. Well, you know, we almost had to go up there and anyway. So, U.S. law is U.S. law, but if you want to reach into the over the borders into other countries, you're going to have to come up with something better than this this stop online piracy. But I ain't joining a bunch of dumbasses with the whole hashtag SOPA and blah, 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 and not even know what the hell it is they're talking. You know, I ain't doing that. Because I'm not going to be with a bunch of morons that don't know what it is they're protesting. And I probably am going to regret having said that. Because I'm doing business with some of those very people. Oh, God.
Yeah, you blew it.
Oh, well. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to wrap up here tonight. Weren't we talking about the debate?
I forget.
I forget, too. We'll be back.
Truth
with more stuff we forgot.
Bitch.
Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Yes, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And this is our News and Information Hour as we talk about the news and the issues with Bud and with Robert, and we try to educate them as well. I don't want to talk anymore about that SOPA. I'm done with SOPA. I don't care if we're talking about SOPA or if we're talking about SOPA.
You mean Al Bondi, guys?
Who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
I'm talking about soup.
Oh, yeah.
Al Bondigas, who's he? It's a soup, man. It's a Hispanic soup, a Mexican soup. And oh my God, is it good.
What did I all mean?
Yeah, it's really good. They got cilantro in it and everything.
Cilantro. Cilantro?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's got meatballs, these Mexican meatballs, which are probably made with a little bit of pork. And since I don't eat swine, I never ask, you know.
When did you stop eating swine?
I stopped eating swine when I got into the whole pigs are your pet thing. It's just, I don't know, man. Don't ask me. I don't want to, you know, I just don't eat it. I don't eat pork. I just don't eat pork. That's the end of that, and that's the discussion. I barely eat meat now.
That on account of you think a cow's got a soul?
No, man.
That's why a lot of people don't eat it.
No, man. It's because, frankly, it's not the it's not the best quality protein. I'm into fish now, and I'm into that protein powder. You know, man, I'm doing that whole diet thing. But albondigas soup, oh, baby, you ain't never had anything so good. And they make it with a little bit of sliced up onion. You get a little bit of carrot going on in there. And I guess they use kind of a chicken stock, and then they have the meatball. It's a very healthy soup. I mean, there's not a damn thing in it that's other than maybe the pork meat that they use, but they use beef, they use the ground beef and pork they use in the meatballs. Then they use the cilantro, diced up onions, a little bit of chicken stock. They have carrots in there. It is fantastic, man. I never miss getting a bowl of that. Of course, you know.
And it don't on your diet or anything.
Yeah, what about that? Well, look, man, if I go out to a restaurant and they say that you should blow out a diet every now and again, the reason why they say that, they say if you're always on your diet, then the body begins to, the metabolism of your body reacts to that. The metabolism, it's almost as if the body is saying, there's not as much fat coming in here now. Maybe there is a famine on. I mean, that's literally what happens. The body reacts as if there's a famine, so it begins to store whatever calories are coming in. The body is storing more and more, even though you're eating less and less. And that's why, of course, exercise has to be worked into the program, because you've really got to force your body to burn that fat, man. Otherwise, it's sitting there going, there's not as much, you know, calories coming in here. There must be a famine, and that's the way the human body is made. So it begins to, you know, use those calories that it is getting more efficiently and storing it. So you don't find yourself losing the weight as fast. So what happens then is you blow the diet out, man. You go out and you have a hamburger, you know, every month or something. Or you go and you have some Mexican food. And what happens there is your body goes, oh, so we are eating regularly. And it begins to, you know, the metabolism changes back a little bit so you can burn that, burn those calories more efficiently.
I don't understand.
Me neither.
I didn't think you guys would understand, but then I'm not talking directly to you. You guys are just going to have to read up on it.
I don't get what it means. It ain't burning it regular.
I don't, bud. You just think about it, will you, man? If your body is eating a certain way and then the body says, now, wait a minute, we're not getting as much food as we used to get. Maybe there's a famine on. Maybe we have to use more efficiently the calories that are coming in. Otherwise, we're going to starve. So you're not losing as many calories as the metabolism changes to retain some of those. So you need to get the body back into thinking it's business as usual. Throw a hamburger in there every now and again. Throw in some spaghetti.
So it starts to burn the calories like it used to.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so it starts to burn the calories like it used to. But that's not the whole answer. The whole answer is also working in daily exercise, man. You got to go out and you got to, like me, man, out on the beach. You saw me. We're working my ass off. God, that's, you know.
Man, you look like you're going to die. Well, I mean, why is that so tough?
Working out in the sand out there? Are you out of your mind? It's insane. I swear to God, I would rather be dead. Trying to run in that? It's brutal. And I see people out there, and they're jogging along like, hey, Susie, how are you doing? I'm Mr. Clean. Woo! You know. And I'm running, and I must look like I'm on the lam from, like I just deserted the French Foreign Legion or something, you know, covered in sweat. And I just, you know. That's brutal out there, but that's the beauty of living that close to the sand. Man, you go out there and try to run in that stuff, and you will definitely feel it. So you asked me about albondiga soup. Now I want to go make some, you know.
Man, that'd be good, man. That don't sound like I got a lot of calories.
Nah, it probably doesn't, but, dude, like I said.
Yeah, you can't have no pig meat, because he ain't meat and he don't eat no pig.
Oh, yeah, that where all the fat is?
I'm not going to have any of that, man, so forget it. And you could probably get the stuff, and it's made with beef, so whatever. All right. Just a couple of other things here in the news. I know the Sundance Film Festival is opened, and the Sundance Film Festival has movies about the broken American dream, and that sounds like a really uplifting time. All right, man. If I'm going to go up to Park City, which is a beautiful town there in Utah, and go up and enjoy the beauty of the mountains and the snow, I don't want to go up to the Sundance Film Festival and get bummed up, man. I mean, what's the story with you cats? Okay, I will not go up there and sit down and watch another bummer courtesy of Bob Bumford. Jeez.
Is that the guy, Butch Cassidy and the Bum Dance Kid?
Yeah.
Butch Cassidy and the Bum Dance Kid. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So if you have any, if you have any needs, any download needs, as long as we were talking about those, visit us online and get our podcasts. Get it all, baby, there at philhendryshow.com. phil.com.
Phil.
See you guys
Henry.
Later.